Well, let's get to the Word of God today and rejoice in the Lord. We started this sermon series last Sunday on excellence. And we talked about the spirit of excellence, how to live in a spirit of excellence. And I'm kind of laying the foundation of the spiritual principle of how excellence works. The next 2 weeks, the next two Sundays after today, I'm going to talk to you specifically along some areas of life management. Man, listen, if we follow God's word, we can manage life well. And we can see the results and the blessing and the favor of it. And I want to share some things with you the next two Sundays, you know, that are going to be real practical things of areas how we can demonstrate and exhibit excellence in living life, in managing life. So I know it's going to bless you. So today I'm still kind of laying the foundation of the spiritual principle, because excellence flows from the spiritual principle. So I've entitled the message, Excellence Flows from the Inside. God in His Word emphasizes what is called the hidden person of the heart. We learn in God's Word that a person's life is a direct result of the hidden person of the heart. What's on the inside? The society that we live in is all about the outward appearance, and it has little understanding of the hidden person of the heart. Now, as we established last week, excellence is the evidence of what God has done to restore people's lives to working order. We understand outside of Christ, lives are broken. At one time, my life was broken. Before you knew the Lord, your life was broken. If you don't know the Lord, your life is still broken. And God can put it back together. He's got exactly what you need. So we understood that. We learned that last week. You know, that it flows from God's work in our lives. He restores us to working order. So today, we will learn how excellence flows from the inside. Because it does. It flows from the hidden person. All right, so let's check out some of God's Word. Proverbs chapter 22, verse 17 to 20. We're going to start with it. These are great verses of Scripture. All right, Proverbs chapter 22, verse 17. He says, "Incline your ear and hear the words of the wise, and apply your heart to my knowledge." Life requires application. If we want to function and operate effectively relationally in every area of our life, there has to be an application. God is telling us that in His Word right here. He said you have to apply your heart to knowledge. Are y'all with me? All right. You got to apply it to knowledge. For it is a pleasant thing if you keep them where? Within you. Excellence flows from the inside. So he says you have to keep it within you, on the inside. Notice what he says next. Let them be fixed upon your lips so that your trust may be in the Lord. I have instructed you today, even you. Have I not written to you excellent things? There's our word. Excellent things of counsels and knowledge. Right here, he tells us excellence comes from what's happening on the inside. He says so. Consider this one. Proverbs chapter 23, verse 12. Here's another word that uses the word apply. He says, apply your heart to instruction and your ears to words of knowledge. Again, there has to be an application. Apply your heart to instruction. All right, so in other words, we have to live it out. We have to apply it. We have to follow what God says. Now, we live in a life that is full of instructions and manuals and you know, concepts, ideas. I hate to have to put together a metal storage shed. Anybody ever put together a metal storage shed? Any of you men? I mean, I think there is 5,000 screws. I retired from that. I'm serious. I retired from that years ago because we don't really like to go to the instruction manual. But God's word is an instruction manual. He says, apply your heart to instruction. Now, today, everything is so easy because if you want to learn about something, all you have to do is go to a YouTube video. And you can learn how to do just about anything you need to do. Now, you may not necessarily have the skill level that some of those things require, but you can get an idea of what needs to be done. Then you just have to go out and apply it. All right, so these are key things here. Excellence flows from the inside. Consider what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 12, verse 33. Either make the tree good and its fruit good, or else make the tree bad and its fruit bad. For a tree is known by its fruit. Brood of vipers, he was addressing the religious people who figured they had it all together. He says, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. What's on the inside? Excellence flows from within. He says in verse 35, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth evil, brings forth good things. A man with a good heart brings forth good things. A man with an evil heart, an evil treasure, brings forth evil things. So let's define. I gave you this definition last week, but to reiterate and to revisit and have an understanding of what we're talking about with the meaning of excellence, or this word excellence. I love the definition. It is the state, quality, or condition of excelling, to show superiority. It is the quality of being outstanding or extremely good. You know, I read that definition and immediately I think of this question. How excellent is my life? Am I living life in excellence? Is there a quality of my life? Is there a condition of excelling? Am I showing superiority? And we talked about that last week. To show superiority is not based upon self-centered pride or self-focus or achievement. It's a reference to what Jesus does on the inside of us. Again, the spiritual principle, the life-giving principle. Not that anybody is better than anybody else, but we excel because of the spiritual principle. Life works because of the spiritual principle. Very important that we understand that. That's why I wanted to revisit the definition. The quality of being outstanding or extremely good. All right, so Jesus said in Matthew 12, 34, out of the abundance of the heart. All right, the word heart is the Greek word cardia, from which we get the English word cardiac. That's what he's talking about. All right, so when we read the word heart, it has a symbolic meaning because the heart is the organ. It is the chief organ of the physical life. Bible says in the book of Leviticus that the blood is life. You know, the life of the flesh is in the blood. The blood is pumped through our body because of the heart's function. If there's no blood flow, there's no life. Amen? That's why God said in the book of Leviticus, the life of the flesh is in the blood. All right, so Jesus said, whatever is in the heart, cardia. He was using figurative language, and we find that principle throughout God's word. When we find the usage of the word heart, he's talking about the hidden springs of one's personal life. What's going on the inside? What is the condition of the heart? We're not just talking about, is my heart working right? We're not talking about that. God wasn't talking about that in his word. He's talking about the inner life. He's talking about the condition of one's personal life. Heart refers to a person's entire mental and moral activity, both the rational and the emotional elements. That is the function of the heart. It is the control center of our entire life. So whatever is affecting the inward heart is going to reflect on the outside lifestyle. That's why excellence flows from the inside. So I want to share some principles with you today along those lines. First of all, and what we're talking about here today, it's time for an inward selfie. So today, I have my phone. I don't ever bring my phone when I'm preaching a Sunday service. I normally leave it in the truck. But today, I brought my phone with me. You know why? Because I want to take a selfie. I hope y'all smiled. Oh, it's good. Oh, that's good. Might have to send y'all that. We live in a selfie generation. But what about the inward selfie? Consider this that we read in 1 Peter. Go to 1 Peter chapter 3, and I want to show you these incredible verses of Scripture and what God teaches us about this hidden inner life. In 1 Peter chapter 3, beginning in verse 3 and verse 4. Look at what he says. Well, let me get to the right page. These new Bibles stick together. He says, let not your merely external adorning with elaborate interweaving, knotting of the hair, the wearing of jewelry, or changes of clothes. All right, so he's talking about the outward self. Well, thank God all of us got up today and we put on clothes and we made ourselves presentable and we showed up. There was a certain amount of time that went into preparation, right? You probably brushed your teeth. Hopefully you brushed your teeth. Amen. You combed your hair. Ladies put on makeup. Nice shoes. Right? You spent an amount of time doing that. And you should have. He's not making issue with those things. But what he is doing, he's drawing a comparison that we cannot just be worried about the external. You have to be concerned about the internal. That's why he says, let it not just be the merely external adorning, you know, taking care of the hair, taking care of clothing, the wearing of jewelry, you know, all of those things. But then in verse 4, he says, but let it be the inward adorning and beauty of the hidden person of the heart. There's our word heart. With the incorruptible and unfading charm of a gentle and peaceful spirit, which is not anxious or wrought up. It simply means it doesn't get upset, but is very precious in the sight of God. It's time for an inward selfie. So God is teaching us in his word. He's teaching us about the inner life, the hidden person of the heart. So we should always ask ourselves some questions. What kind of heart do I have? What is the condition of my heart. What kind of heart do I have? Who am I on the inside? What is my thought life like? What kind of attitude do I have? What does my inward selfie look like? What does it look like? So we give all kind of attention to the outward adorning, but what about what's on the inside? You see, what he's teaching us is to have excellence and order in our lives. We have to look deeper to see the condition on the inside. How many of you really want excellence and order in your lives? Yeah, I think most of us want it, right? The rest of you, maybe y'all like confusion. Because not everybody raised their hand. I don't like confusion. I want excellence and I want order. All right, it's God's will, it's God's plan, and it's God's purpose to restore our lives to proper working order. Come on, somebody. How does he do that? Well, that's why we're talking about the spiritual dynamic, the spiritual principle. It's what's happening on the inside, because excellence flows from the inside. I'm reminded of a story of a missionary. Actually, it was not a missionary that told this story. It was a pastor who pastored a very successful church in Oklahoma. And he traveled with a missionary to Russia. And the people there that they ministered to did not have much of earthly belongings. They did not even put forth much effort to make themselves even presentable on the outward appearance. And they began to preach the gospel, and they established a ministry there, established a church. And there's a lot of ministry going on in Russia. I mean, we hear a lot of Russia on the news today, right? But there's a lot of, you don't hear about the good things going on. You don't hear about the gospel ministry that's taking place in Russia. But there's a lot of gospel ministry that's happening in Russia. And they established a church there. All right, so this pastor went back a year later, and he was amazed because he saw these people's lives. All of a sudden, it was different. They looked different. They talked different. They were even dressed different. What is the explanation for that? Now, keep in mind, they didn't have access to all the things you and I have access to today here in America. They didn't have access to all of those things. But still, something happened on the inside of them. And what happened on the inside of them began to reflect on the outside of their lives. And it was noticeable. They could see it. See, what was happening was excellence was beginning to flow from the inside. They didn't have all of the means that they needed. They didn't have everything that they needed, but they had what they needed. And they were able to make a change. And excellence began to flow from the inside. See, this is what God's word is teaching us. We have to look beyond the external, and we have to look on the inside. 1 Peter 3 is teaching us that we should not only be with superficial outward appearance, but that we should learn how to live deeper. How to live deeper. The inward life is very precious to God. Notice what he says in verse 4 at the very end. He said that this hidden person of the heart, this incorruptible person that has unfading charm of a gentle and peaceful spirit. He's talking about an inward condition, right? What's happening on the inside? He said, this is very precious in the sight of God. It's precious. God takes notice of it. It is precious to him. The inward life is precious to him. And my friends, it should be precious to us as well. Well, that brings me to the next thing. I kind of shared this point last Sunday, but I want to revisit it from a different angle today. Because excellence requires going deeper. So I want to share a fishing story with you. As one that fishes, I love fishing stories. And in Luke's Gospel, chapter 5, we have a fishing story. It's a t-shirt that a lot of fishermen wear. It says that says all fishermen are liars. A lot of truth to that. A lot of truth to a lie. But as a t-shirt, I actually saw it. All fishermen are liars. Why? They tend to exaggerate. You know, it's competitive. You know, they exaggerate. But Jesus gave us an incredible fishing story. And the story tells us that the disciples had been fishing all night and they caught nothing. No results. I've had my fair share of fishing trips with no results. And that's when Becky would give me those lectures. Why? I don't, all the money you spend for a boat, the upkeep, the fuel costs, the rods and reels. I think between Josiah and I think we got about 12 rods and reels now. Yeah, you know, because he's picked up. We got big tackle boxes. I mean, we go, I'm a fool for baits. I mean, it's just, they're so colorful. And I go in and I see all the colors and I'm like, this just looks so good to me. So it's got to look good to the fish. Chris, Daryl, y'all know it's the truth. I mean, we're suckers for it. I think Chris has got about $200 of gulp baits in his tackle box. Don't tell his wife. Oh, wait, she's here. So Becky would give me those lights. All of them, you know how much fish you could put in the freezer with the money you spend on fishing? I was like, baby, you're missing the point. You got to get into the outdoors. You know, it's you're riding in a boat. You know, it's fun. You don't know what you're going to get on the end of that line. It's fun. Sort of like when you're looking for a husband or a wife, you don't know what you're going to get on the end of that line. Isn't that the truth? I was telling the first service this morning. I said, you got to fish out of the right waters. Amen. There's nothing wrong with fishing for a husband, fishing for a wife. But make sure you're not fishing in contaminated waters. Because all you'll catch is junk. Come on, somebody. Amen. Man, get in the right waters. Fish in the right pool. And you might catch something of quality. The disciples were fishing all night and caught nothing. No results. And that's exactly how many people's lives are today. They live with no results. See, when we live a life of spiritual excellence, there will be results. Can I get an amen? There will be. There will be results. But there's so many people that are living frustrated lives because there's no excellence in their lives. There's no results. And they just keep doing the same thing over and over again. Somebody told me years ago that if you want to get different results, you have to change the method. If you just keep doing the same thing over and over again, you'll have the same no results. God wants our lives to have results. So we find the story in Luke's Gospel, chapter 5. It says in verse 4, he spoke to Simon. He said, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. But Simon answered and said to him, Master, we have toiled all night and caught nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net. And when they had done this, they caught a great number of fish, and their net was breaking. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both the boats so that they began to sink. Wow. Now that, my friends, is results. Now what's the difference? The difference is Jesus got in the midst of the problem. The spirit, oh my. Do y'all see it? The spiritual dynamic. Now, I just have one question about this story. Knowing that you hanging out with the Son of God, why you didn't invite him to go fishing? Hello, somebody. So they toiled all the night. Why? Because they left Jesus home. I wonder, man, what would they have caught if he would have been with them in the beginning? My. Excellence requires going deeper. Hallelujah. I don't want to be a frustrated person. I don't want to be filled with a life of no results. I want to see things happen. Excellence requires going deeper. When there is no depth, there's no excellence. People live superficial. They live by the outward appearance. Even the Bible says in 1 Samuel 16:7, it says, the Lord does not see as man sees. For man looks on the outward appearance, but God looks at the heart. Hallelujah. So the key principle, Jesus said, launch out into the deep. You're trying to get results in shallow water. There's nothing to catch there. I remember a fishing trip years ago. We had some of the youngsters from the youth group, and it was one of those days where the fishing was a little tough, and we weren't catching anything. I mean, we were catching some, but it was sporadic, and young people, they get bored. So we had several boats out. So the young people were in one of the boats, and all of a sudden both of them threw their rods down, kind of put their cap over their eyes and just kind of kicked back and were just getting a suntan. And I yelled out at them and I said, "Hey, if you're gonna catch something, you got to get your line in the water." That was my message. Get your line in the water and you'll catch it. You're not going to catch anything if you don't get your line in the water. The disciples simply weren't, it wasn't a line problem. They were simply in shallow water. So Jesus said, go out into the deep. My friends, if you and I will go deeper in the things of God, if we'll go deeper in our walk, deeper in our relationship, deeper in the level of our spirituality, we will see results. Hallelujah. We'll see it. We'll see results because something is going to begin to happen on the inside. And excellence flows from the inside. Let me move on to the next thing. See, excellence flows from a right spirit. As imperfect people, we all have flaws in areas of our character. I think all of us understand there's areas of our lives that still need work. Can I get a better amen? None of us are perfect. None of us have arrived. We are all still moving forward, making progress. We are all imperfect people. And we have flaws in areas of our character. Areas where we need the Lord to work in those areas. All of us have that. Now, the devil works hard to stop the flow of the Holy Spirit in our lives. See, because those flawed areas, that's God's specialty. That's where he wants to move. That's where he wants to work. That's what the Holy Spirit does. The Holy Spirit moves into those areas of our lives, and he brings correction. He brings stability. He works in those areas of our life to produce the Christ life on the inside. Now, Satan, on the other hand, he seeks an entry point into those flawed areas because he wants to spoil our spirit. See, when he's operating, when he's working, then we have a prideful spirit. We have a haughty spirit. A haughty spirit simply means arrogant disposition. God does not move where there is an arrogant disposition. The cross represents that. When Jesus was nailed at the cross, and the Bible says there were two criminals who were crucified with him, one on the left, one on the right. The Bible paints a picture. I heard a minister preach a message on this years ago, and it was at a men's gathering. And the message was, what side of the cross are you on? Because on one side, it represented humility. It represented repentance. It represented the acknowledgement of who Jesus Christ is. The other side of the cross represented prideful arrogance. It represented rejection of the person of Christ. And we find that in the crucifixion of two thieves, of two criminals. Because one says, Lord, remember me. See, that was a right spirit. That was a humble spirit. He recognized Jesus. He understood he was being crucified wrongfully because he was innocent. He knew he was getting what he deserved. So he says, remember me. And what did Jesus say? He said, today. But he only looked to that side. He said, today. You will be with me in paradise. There was no word for the guy on the other side of the cross because he was prideful. He was arrogant. He did not recognize Jesus. The devil had him. And I would venture to say the devil took him as his own because he did not have those words spoken to him. Today, you'll be with me in paradise. We don't find that. See, we must keep a right spirit. Excellence flows from a right spirit. Satan seeks that entry point because he wants to spoil our spirit. But when we keep a right spirit by allowing God to work in those areas of life that we need grace, excellence is going to flow from that incredible work. Excellence flows from a right spirit. Hallelujah. But when Satan has access to those areas instead of God, then that's what happens. We develop a haughty spirit, an arrogant disposition. Excellence cannot flow from an arrogant disposition. When we think about points of access, I love what Jesus said in John 14:30. He said, the prince of this world is coming, and he has no claim on me. Nothing that he can use against me. Hallelujah. Does he have a claim on you, my friend? Is there some point of access in your life? Is there some area where maybe you have allowed him to come in, spoiled your spirit, messed up your spirit? You don't have a right spirit. Excellent can't flow from a haughty, arrogant disposition. We need to understand that. Moving on to the next thing. Excellence requires maintaining our hearts. I love Book of Proverbs. I love what Proverbs says in reference to that. It says that we must guard our heart, for out of it are the issues of life. That's Proverbs 4:23. I quote it all the time. Guard your heart, for out of it are the issues of life. I want to visit another area today in God's Word that deals with maintaining our heart, because excellence requires maintaining our hearts. This is what we read in Philippians chapter 4. Verse 6 and 7, he says, do not fret or have any anxiety about anything, but in every circumstance and in everything by prayer and petition, definite requests with thanksgiving, continue to make your wants known to God. And God's peace shall be yours. Look at what he says next. That tranquil state of a soul assured of its salvation through Christ. And that's where peace comes. It comes in Jesus. It's only found in Jesus. He said it is a tranquil state of a soul assured of its salvation through Christ. And so fearing nothing from God. In other words, there's no fear of his judgment because Jesus took that judgment. And being content with its earthly lot of whatever sort that is, that peace which transcends all understanding shall garrison and mount guard over your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. These are great verses. I love these verses of Scripture because it's talking about maintaining our hearts. When you see that phrase where it says, stands guard over our hearts and minds, that is a military term. The mind is a battle zone, and it needs to be protected. It must be protected. Anybody that is drawn into any form of sin, they have to fight that battle in their mind first. And there's a lot of images that are thrown at us every day that would love to seduce our mind and draw our mind into that. And we have to control our mind. I love this illustration that I heard someone share. Said, I can't, this is how you look at the thought life, because we have issues and problems with the thought life. Everybody has to deal with thoughts. I heard somebody say it this way. Said, you know, there's birds that fly over my head every day, but I don't have to let them build a nest there. That's a good illustration. And that's exactly how thoughts are. There are thoughts every day, but I don't have to let them build a nest there. Because if that happens, then my mind is seduced, and then I'm drawn into whatever the sin is. And I believe that's why internet pornography is such a damning thing. Because it seduces the mind. It seduces the thought life. And y'all, if y'all been around my preaching and teaching, y'all know what I say about these things. What makes it, and you could take that in any area of sexual immorality, whether it's adultery, fornication, same-sex issues, all of that, it's spirits. Alcoholism, drug usage, it's spirits. You're not just dealing with the problem itself. You're not just dealing with a disease, as they say. Nowhere does God call sin a disease. What does he call it? Sin. That's what he calls it. He calls it sin. But just like we would say, excellent flows from a right spirit. Those character flaws, whatever, those areas of life, Satan seeks access into those areas. All right, so then if we give him that access, then guess what happens? We lose authority. I don't want to lose my authority. I walk in authority. Hallelujah. Every day I walk in authority. But I know authority must be maintained. You gotta guard, because we're talking military terms here. That's why I said guard your mind. Guard your mind. The mind is a battlefield. It needs to be protected. Why? Because there are invaders that want to get in. They want to get in the mind and control you. That's why God says in his word, keep your mind renewed. The word of God, get it in your mind. The psalmist David said, he said, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against you. Because excellence flows from the inside. So then if I lose that spirit of excellence, then it means I have lost that spirit principle. So if I lose that spirit principle, then there's another spirit that takes over. Are y'all with me? And that's how, pardon the expression, that's how people's lives get so screwed up. Because they forfeit it. They surrender. So there's no peace. There's no excellence because the spirit's not right. So they can't have that peace. They can't have that tranquility. That's why God says in his word, man, pray about everything. Use prayer as your weapon. It is a battering ram against the devil. You know what happens to a backslider? I'm telling you, the very first thing that happens to someone who backslides is they stop praying. That's what happens first. Then I believe they neglect the word. I'm just giving you some my thoughts on them. I'm not saying this is necessarily Bible, but these are just my thoughts. That's the first thing that goes is the spirit of prayer. They stop praying and seeking God. Then they lose desire for the word of God. So then their life becomes just an open field. Their mind becomes controlled by other things. People are dealing with things in their mind. This is why it must be protected. Excellence requires maintaining our hearts. Those invaders must be kept out. Hallelujah. from time to time. And you know, in this age of social media, you got to keep those invaders out. I get friend requests from women, and then I'll open that, and I was like, oh, Jesus, I rebuke that devil in the name of Jesus, you wicked and foul spirit, because that's exactly what it is. It is a wicked and foul spirit. It is an invader. I want to live in excellence. So I got to maintain my heart. I got to maintain my walk. I got to stay in right alignment with God. And if I do so, then I live by the principle and the premise that the steps of the righteous, they are ordered by God. Hallelujah. So I look for miracles. I look for breakthroughs. I look for provision. I look for favor. I look for anointing. I look for power. Because all of those things. See, this is how excellence works. This is how it flows. This is how it operates. So that brings me, I might get fired up today. Brings me to the last and final thing. See, excellence is the product of a spiritual mind. Maybe this is why Ephesians 4:23 says, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Some people's minds have the wrong spirit. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. Hallelujah. Excellence is the product of a spiritual mind. Let me go back to Proverbs and end with this one. Proverbs chapter 2. Here's another example in God's word. Excellence, the product of a spiritual mind. In Proverbs chapter 2, beginning in the very first verse, he says, my son, if you receive my words, I have to receive it. Treasure my commands. Where at? Within you. Excellence flows from the inside. Treasure my commands within you, so that you incline your ear to wisdom and apply your heart to understanding. Yes, 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 yes. Thank you, Jesus. He says, yes, if you cry out for discernment, God, give me discernment. And lift up your voice for understanding. If you seek her as silver and search for her as for hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. Hallelujah. Excellence is the product of a spiritual mind. That's an incredible concept, because the Bible says that the carnal mind, the mind that lives based upon external things. Do y'all ever read Dear Abby in the newspaper? Not a lot of people read newspapers anymore. I was reading a story there the other day about a woman and her husband had been married for 19 years. And it was her idea. She said, I think we ought to do a little 50 Shades of Gray in our marriage. And the husband was like, yeah. And I began to read, and I was like, Jesus, Lord, what is wrong with people? Are lives really in their minds? And I won't tell you the rest of this story. I mean, it's something. And then she was she's writing, Dear, how can I get my husband back? Go to the divorce court and get another one. That was basically the counsel, you know. People's minds. I mean, man, listen. I guarantee you this. They are not living an excellent life. Amen? They are not living an excellent life. Spiritual mind. But the Bible says the carnal mind. Not the spiritual mind. The carnal mind is the mind that thinks according to outward, external things. It says that the carnal mind cannot fulfill the law of God. Can't fulfill it because it lives upon the principle of lust. It can't fulfill it. And that's where so many people live. And you can look at these TV programs that give you all these news headlines about famous people. Look at all these famous people have millions and millions of beautiful homes, everything money could buy. But yet, there's no excellence in their life because they live by the external. They don't live by the internal. Excellence flows. I hope you are getting my message today. Excellence flows because of the spiritual principle. And my friends, that is what God is concerned about. What's happening on the inside? Who am I on the inside? See, all of us, we have an external self that people see. But who am I really on the inside? Who are you really on the inside? That's the real nitty-gritty of the matter. So God in His Word says, He says, if you'll receive my word, and if you'll treasure my commandments, and listen to my wisdom, yes, and apply your heart. Cry out for discernment. You know, reading that story, that lady did not have any discernment. She needed discernment, but she didn't have it. Why? Because the mind was not spiritual. Excellence is the product of a spiritual mind. He says, cry out for it. And he said, you'll find it, and you'll have wisdom. And out of him will come knowledge and understanding. And my friends, the product is a spirit of excellence.